If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs 31, again, where we've just been reading. And if you'd also like to have your pink bulletin open at the inner fold, we'll be using verses there as well. So have your bulletin open to here. Warm welcome to visitors today. Glad that you're with us. May God bless you as you worship with us today. Let's seek God's help. Father, as we come to your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would illumine the words of God to us. Lord, we cannot understand them. We cannot live them without his help. We're dependent on you. You are the vine. We are the branches. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us to turn and look on your wonderful face so that the things of earth would grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series over the years called Our Home. And, of course, this is a Mother's Day message today, The Fulfilled Mother. When Sally was 4 years old, her mother and father divorced. She never saw her father again. Her mother soon remarried, but the relationship with her mother and stepfather was a cold one, a distant one. A sad and lonely girl, Sally was ill at ease with other people around her. She felt inferior, unwanted, and unappreciated. She longed for the day when she could get married and have a family of her own. Sally did marry at the age of 17. Soon after that, she had her first child, and within a few years, two more. She and her husband, about that time, became Christians, and they found a good church. Her husband was a good man, faithful and loving. Now, Sally had the husband and the family that she had desired, and yet she was not happy. Although she had what she thought would bring her fulfillment, she still saw herself as a failure. She felt pressured and guilty. She felt overwhelmed, inadequate. What really brings fulfillment to a wife and mother? Where do we find satisfaction? Where does contentment lie? Well, that is answered in many places in Scripture, and we need to dig out the Scriptures today. Perhaps one of the most commonly used Scriptures on Mother's Day is Proverbs 31, but I can't remember the last time that I used it, so it's time to brush the dust off Proverbs 31 and have a fresh look at it today. I had only been saved a couple of years, and I was attending a church in Newcastle, and one of the deacon's wives told me that she had tried to live Proverbs 31 as a young wife, but she'd ended up in a heap. And that's been a warning to me. A superficial reading of Proverbs 31 can give you the wrong idea. I mean, there are phrases there like, the lamp does not go out at night. She also rises while it is still night. She willingly works with her hands. She does not eat the bread of idleness. It kind of gives you the idea that it's godly to work 24/7 to the point of exhaustion. That is not the major concept that should be brought away from Proverbs 31. It may be that mothers have to work like that at times, but that's not really the major message of Proverbs 31. Quite the opposite. Proverbs 31 gives four principles for fulfillment. Not four principles for exhaustion. Four principles of fulfillment for a wife and mother. Proverbs 31 is more about the heart than it is the work of the hands. It's about peace and not about something more to add to your to-do list. Now, it is the mother of King Lemuel who is the teacher behind Proverbs 31. The first principle for fulfillment as a mother, the mother of King Lemuel does not give us until right at the end. It is to fear God. David highlighted this. It is to fear God. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, Proverbs 31 is kind of interesting because it comes from the heart of a woman. Not that she wrote the scripture. Her son King Lemuel wrote the scripture, but he wrote down what his mother had taught him. That's what it says in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. The king's mother had taught him about two major areas of life. Number one, how to rule. He was going to be king. That's in verses 1 to 9. And then she taught him about what a virtuous wife would look like, presumably so he'd know how to find her, in verses 10 to 31. King Lemuel's mum saves the icing on the cake till the end. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. What really matters is a woman's relationship with God. Now, charm can be delightful, but charm can be put on and it's not necessarily from the heart. And beauty, well, as they say, it's only skin deep. And sorry, ladies, but skin wrinkles eventually. What really matters is that relationship with the Lord. Charm is deceitful. It can be. And beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Not only is the fear of the Lord enduring, it's not a put-on like charm can be. It is something that should be growing and deepening as time goes by. Now, the Old Testament, as in this verse here, emphasizes the fear of the Lord, while the New Testament emphasizes the love of the Lord. But as we've seen at other times, they're different sides of the same coin. Those who love the Lord will fear the Lord, and those who fear the Lord will also love him. Both the love of the Lord and the fear of the Lord say, I want to do what pleases God, and I don't want to do anything that displeases God. They both say that. The point is, the godly woman, no matter her age, has a growing and deepening relationship with the Lord. The godly woman is concentrating on her heart, not on the externals. Nothing wrong with externals, but that's not where she is concentrating. This is mentioned in a number of scriptures. We read in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And David read to us from Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So this woman wants to be wise and godly because she has this fear of God in her heart. In the New Testament, we read about the emphasis on the internal rather than the external. 1 Peter 3:3 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or golds or pearls or costly clothing, not that emphasis, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So she is more concerned with her character than she is with the styles of the world. This woman has not sought happiness and fun. For happiness and fun is a mirage. This godly woman has sought contentment. Happiness is found in the things of the world which can satisfy for a time, but they never last. Just when you think you can grasp happiness, it's gone like thin air. Contentment is found in a relationship with Christ. The wise wife, the fulfilled mother, has sought his kingdom and his righteousness above everything else as her first priority. Paul in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. I told you that Sally felt like a failure. She felt inadequate and she felt overwhelmed. She responded by launching into new areas of activity. Because what she was doing didn't satisfy her, she looked for more things to do. She was a hard worker, skilled and responsible, and she quickly rose in her career. Additionally, she got involved more at church, and she got involved in community groups, but she was still discontented. Depression started to be a constant companion. Dear mothers, your life is so busy. You're up nights. You get through one meal and you're planning for the next. Some of your mums work outside the home as well. You clean up the house and the family mess up the house. There's always some issue to be working through. And we are grateful for your service here too in the local church. Is his yoke really easy and his burden light as he promised? How does a mother find rest to a soul and contentment to her heart? Well, not like Sally, by seeking to do more and more stuff that might fulfill. The hymn writer knew when she said, well, it's the ladies that are teaching us today, King Lemuel's mother. And by the way, Lemuel is probably a pseudonym. It's probably Solomon. No one knows otherwise who King Lemuel is. But this hymn writer was a lady. And she says, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus. I behold you as you are, and your love, so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart. The satisfaction is there in the Lord. Draw close, ladies, and he will draw close to you. Dear mothers and dear wives, draw close, and you will find that rest to your souls. Now, we have much more to say about relationship with God in a minute, because the second principle for fulfillment as a mother is very closely related to the first. It's this: develop character. Develop character. First of all, as our relationship with the Lord, and secondly, we want to have that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, as men as well as ladies, but we're especially talking to the ladies today. The point is, after knowing God, we should concentrate on being what we are rather than in doing like Sally did. What we do should flow out of what we are in Christ. So let's have a look at this Proverbs 31 lady and her godly character, which came of her relationship with the Lord. First of all, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The virtuous wife, the virtue there refers to moral excellence, which is more valuable than anything. So let's start to list her character qualities. Number one, moral excellence in verse 10. Number two, she is trustworthy in verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. By the way, that phrase, he will have no lack of gain, means she's going to greatly enrich his life. Number three, she is good. Verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Number four, she's generous. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. So she's good and she's generous. Number five, she's an encourager. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now that verse doesn't say anything about encouragement, but a wife affects her husband's standing in the community. For example, a wife with a sharp tongue could disqualify her husband from leadership in the church. She'd simply be destroying his ministry. I believe this woman was an encourager at home, and it was that domestic stability that enabled him to be a man of confidence amongst his peers out there in the world. Verse 23 says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." Number six, she is mature or godly. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. That if you take those words strength and honor and do a search through your Bible, elsewhere those words strength and honor only apply to God, either Jesus Christ or the Father. But here they're applied to a woman, which makes it very clear to us that that strength and honor come through her relationship with God. Number seven, she is wise and kind. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So, in summary, we end up where we started. She is excellent. Verse 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. The character qualities are all fruit of her relationship with God. You see, the relationship of God is there, and then the character qualities develop out of that relationship. Therefore, she is described this way in Psalm 128. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. A fruitful vine, and yes, doesn't the New Testament tell us that a close relationship with Christ is what produces the fruit in the life of any person? John 15 and verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So the fruit comes of abiding in Christ. The fruit that is produced by abiding in Christ is the beautiful character of Christ, also called the fruit of the Spirit, and that's listed for us in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These all come of that relationship with God, and this is the godly wife in the very heart of her home. Psalm 128 again, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Yes, it's the same relationship with Christ that produces the rest to our souls and also produces the character qualities in this godly woman. Sally had thought of herself as unwanted, unworthy and acceptable to God, her husband and her family, to anybody. So she went to a pastor for counseling. He noticed that the standards that she was judging her life by were not really biblical standards. And the priorities that were in her life were not biblical priorities either. Sally needed to understand her worth to God, and then she needed to order her life according to God's priorities. Regarding her worth, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So Sally had been given every spiritual blessing. She'd been given everything to live the Christian life and find fulfillment in the Christian life. Verse 4 continues, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Circle those words, "chose us." She was so loved by her Heavenly Father that He had set His love on her before she was born. Indeed, before the first atom started to spin in the universe, she was loved and chosen. Verse 5, "having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Circle that word, adoption. Her own family was fractured. She found nothing of strength from them or love, but she had been adopted into the family of families, the family of God. Verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." Circle that word, accepted. She felt unaccepted, but she certainly was accepted. She was made perfect and beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in His righteousness and blessed with His love. Verse 7, "in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Circle that word, redemption. She had not been bought with mere silver or gold, but she had been bought with the precious blood of Christ. The Father had paid the most expensive thing that He could to have her as His own, the blood of His dearly loved Son. Oh, how she was loved and accepted, and she needed to understand that. But she hadn't quite grasped all that yet. She had a high view of her responsibilities, an oppressive sense of duty. She was driven toward perfection without even knowing what perfection was. Her pattern had been trying hard, trying, and then judging herself when she failed, falling in a heap, but then pulling up her socks, rolling up her sleeves, determining to just go ahead and do it, and repeated that scenario over and over again. And over the years, that led to discouragement, disillusionment, and despair. Sally was a Christian, but a relationship with God was not very deep. It wasn't very dynamic. In fact, she was works-oriented in her attitude to God. The major words in her vocabulary were go and do. Sally feared God, but mostly in the negative sense of seeing Him as a hard taskmaster, demanding impossible things from her and then demanding from her, ready to judge her when she failed. She knew intellectually God is gracious and glorious and compassionate. But in the nitty-gritty of her life, her focus was on duty. As a result, her relationship with God was impersonal and joyless. She knew little of that big, wholesome concept of God that enriches and empowers our lives. Trying to produce the fruit of the Christian life, like that love, joy, peace, without the root going down into Christ, was impossible. When Sally gained new insights into the Christian life and a relationship with God, she began to experience a new kind of liberty. As she made knowing God her number one priority, she's discovered a new sense of meaning, acceptance, power, and security. And she is becoming fulfilled. Sally's two big words, go and do, have become rest and love. One author says of Proverbs 31, this woman who is the fruitful vine is a God-centered person. She has a big concept of God. She sees God as great and His greatness as unsearchable. She knows that He is in control of her life and indeed the world, and that He loves her. Her knowledge of God is biblical and growing, and this enables her to find a rest in each day. The Lord is powerful and He is with her. Whatever good there is in her flows from her Heavenly Father through her life and out to others. God has become her strength, her hope and her counselor. It is her love for Him that motivates what she does. The secret of her fruitfulness is not her dynamic personality. It's not her strong willpower or her physical beauty. It's not her pleasant situation or her unusual resources. It's not her good training or great talents. Not an exceptional husband or exceptional children. Her fruitfulness stems from a vital and deep relationship with the living God. The third principle for fulfillment as a mother is care for family. Only when a woman has that vital relationship with the Lord and is growing in her relationship with Him, bearing that fruit in her life, can the family be the fulfillment that is meant to be. Every married woman starts with a husband, and the children come, and the children go, and she's left with a husband. So the husband needs to be first of all human relationships. We've already seen King Lemuel's mother describing the ideal wife as someone who encourages her husband. That's good. What else? Well, she will give her husband every reason to trust her. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, and so he will have no lack of gain. Or a paraphrase on your sheet, her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She seeks to bless her husband, and she cannot do that without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, especially to an ungrateful husband. We also read in verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I get the impression that this man and his wife are still sweethearts, even when all the children have gone. We read in verse 28, the second part of verse 28, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all, he says. Her relationship with her husband then flows onto the whole household in care and provision and protection of them. Her work, all the stuff she does is what's seen from the outside, but I want you to understand her heart that she's able to do this because of her relationship with the Lord. And what she's becoming. Just watch her care. Verse 13. She seeks woolen flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From a profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and a lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Now try and do that without being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll end up in a heap. But her love for God and her fear of God leads her to care for her husband and then on to the rest of the family. Now, our modern lifestyle is, of course, very different to some of the things that we read about this lady doing in Proverbs 31. But certainly, what is the underlying factor in both situations, the way she lived back then and the way we live today, is the care for her family that flows from the heart of a godly woman. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's providing for her family, she's protecting them. This love for God is flowing out from her life. And so the whole family sees her love for God and for them. And verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So, get relationship with God right, and growing Christian character, and the rest, the ministry to husband and the family is going to flow out of that. And that will produce sweet relationships, which then is a blessing back again to the godly wife. You can see how Sally got it wrong, can't you? Sally needed to get this perspective on the family, getting it in the right order. She loved and cared for them deeply, but to be worthwhile, she thought she had to be superwoman. She thought that meant having a good education, having a career, becoming a leader, being involved in community groups, being involved in her church and other activities. Initially in her marriage, Sally had tried to find satisfaction in just being a good wife, a devoted wife and mother. But that hadn't bring the satisfaction, that didn't bring the satisfaction that she looked for. In her disappointment, she began to add many more activities and things to her list. But that only wore her out. She became bulimic, depressed, anxious, and frustrated. Eventually, Sally became aware that she'd been trying to find refreshment in people and things rather than in God. So those kind of things had become idols, hadn't they? Things to make life work, but they were not the living God. As she found delight in the Lord, she found an inner strength to serve her family. And that returned only to her blessing again. This is not mythical. It's meant to be reality for a godly family. And Sally is not a made-up case study. She's a real person. And I'm sure many of you can identify with things in her life. She did not really understand, sadly, what the Christian life was about. The last principle for fulfillment that comes out of Proverbs 31 is involvement in faithful service. Involvement in faithful service. We do not need to say much about this because it is her relationship with God and then her relationship with family that it is out of those that she had much to give others. And we did read in verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches her hands out to the needy. So there is a community involvement. There is a concern for others round about her. Although Sally remained involved in some of the activities outside the home, she started to approach them in a different attitude. She was ministering out of her relationship to Christ. And she'd become a family-oriented person. Ladies, I know life is busy, but you will find fulfillment in serving your Savior in this local church. It's not something to add to your do list. It is a joy that flows out of a relationship with God and godly character. God bless you, mothers. You have the most important job in all the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the ladies that are amongst us today. Some would like to be mothers, and I pray that you would hear their prayers as the prayers of Hannah. Others, Father, would like to be married perhaps. I just pray that you would supply those needs. Others are despairing over their families. And Lord, I pray that you would hear the prayers for their children. Help them to reach out to their children. And I pray that they would rise up and call her blessed. pray that we would be the godly people, and the women of this church would be the godly women that they're meant to be. We pray, Lord, that we would draw close to you, and then out of that relationship with you, there would be a strength, an honor to be able to meet all the needs that are around about us. Bless the mums, encourage their hearts, give them strength in the night when they're up to little ones, give them strength during the day when all kinds of problems seem to pile up. Pray that you would guide their steps, pray that they would stay close to you, and we'd see the beautiful fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.